Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Live from Los Angeles, California. The star of the show is Michael Savage, written by Michael Savage, produced by Michael Savage. Brought up by Robert Borowski. Full screen by Jim Verde. This is the Savage Nation. It's open mic to Mike Friday. Fine number. I forgot my own fine number. I am live from Lollipop Land again until I go back home to the land of the ghouls, Northern California, where everyone smiles and secretly carries a liberal knife in their back pocket. A land where in Marin County it's 99.9% white, but they love diversity. A place of pure hypocrisy. True diversity can be found here in Beverly Hills, California, where a walk on Rodeo Drive just yesterday produced more burkas, more head veils than in Istanbul. I'm not making this up. It was shocking. I've been here many times. I've never seen a flood of burkas and of head coverings as I saw yesterday on Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills. Now, you may say, what's wrong with that? Well, let me ask you something. If they're so religious, why are they walking on Rodeo Drive looking at statues of naked and half-naked women? That's the part I don't understand. And if they're so religious, why are all of these super religious women eating the same food I eat, in the same restaurants I eat in? Can anyone explain that to me? Now, Obama says the reason that we've been spared European-style terrorism is because the Muslims in America are successful and cooperating with the authorities. Well, I guess he hasn't heard about Orlando. I guess he hasn't heard about San Bernardino. I guess Obama hasn't been given the news about all of the attacks here in America, because to him, I guess he doesn't wear rose-colored glasses. The entire world is rose-colored, except, of course, those nasty Republicans and those nasty voters out there who don't want to give up their guns, God, and the Bible. But yesterday, Obama gave a little press conference that was laughable. The only way to get through it was to mock him, because that's all he's worthy of. I have to play something for you that I missed yesterday about... Well, listen for yourself. And then we're going to talk about Donald Trump, and I have some questions for you about that today, and you're invited to call 855-407-282. Do you think Trump is on track? Does his campaign need intervention? Have you lost faith in Donald Trump? Is he being undermined by his campaign? Should Trump apologize to Sharia Khan's father? I call Khan the con man. You know, I don't believe he should apologize, but now they're saying he should apologize to Sharia Khan. But here's the real loaded question of the day from Lollipop Land. If Hillary becomes president, what's your greatest fear? What do you think she will do that frightens you the most? That's the one that's really striking the raw nerve. That's chalk on a blackboard. If Hillary becomes president, what is your greatest fear? I know I have mine, which would be the First through Eighth Amendments. But other than that, I have no fears about Hillary. I'm perfectly fine with her. It's just the First through Eighth Amendments that bother me a little bit. Freedom of speech, that'll be modified. It'll be European style, where you can say what she wants. Second Amendment, oh, you could have a gun if you want to go bird shooting. But other than that, you may as well break your guns up and throw them into the sea. Let's go down the Third, Fourth, Fifth, Sixth, and Seventh and Eighth Amendments, because that's what's coming if she becomes president. Now, there's another question. If that's not enough for you, if I'm not overloading you enough, are you a Republican who will vote for Clinton? I saw an amazing article from the Associated Propagandists at AP saying that there's a new group of voters for Hillary called Republicans. And then they trot out groups called, like, Republican Women for Hillary. I don't believe these groups exist. You say Christy Todd Whitman is about to go over? Well, Christy Todd Whitman was always a rhino. She was never really a Republican. And the other one, Meg Whitman, another faker. So I'm not, you know, really impressed with this article, but I'm worried. There are people that they're quoting with groups that I never heard of. women, for example, in the crucial swing counties surrounding cities such as Richmond, Virginia, Columbus, Ohio, I said that on purpose, and Philadelphia. Jennifer Pierotti Lim, who heads a group called Republican Women for Hillary, I don't believe it, said they have heard from nearly 100 women since the party conventions concluded, quote, I think Trump doubling down on these things gives people an extra push to come forward for Hillary. So I'm asking you a question, because he's down in the polls. Even Pat Buchanan, who I respect deeply, says that Trump's road is still open, but he's down by 10 points. He said that's not insurmountable, because in August of 64, Barry Goldwater was down 36 points behind the Dem LBJ, while today Trump is down 10 points behind Hillary, if you can believe it. And he writes, from Harry Truman to George W. Bush, many presidential candidates have been able to close a 10-point gap and win. And he says, what does Trump need to do? He needs to cooperate with the party. The party needs to stop attacking him. He needs to stop attacking the party. It's not that hard. But that's not going to happen, because I believe the party wants Hillary to win. I believe his own campaign managers, in my opinion, work for her. I'm sorry. I mean, it's not a conspiracy theory. Look at their background. You don't have to go as far as a conspiracy theory to follow what I'm saying to you. Now, it is true I'm in lollipop land, and I don't drink the water in Los Angeles, that's for sure. But if I now see Burkas on Rodeo Drive, why can't I see Republicans on Hillary Drive? The phone number is 855-407-282. What is your deepest fear about Hillary Clinton as president? Could you play that music again? I feel like starting the show again. I don't feel like I started it. He's doing a great movie over in Eastern Europe, but he came back. He's going to be there. We're going to go to an Italian restaurant. Again, a double. Maybe I can get more of the boars. Hindquarters in exchange. I don't think this place will do that. He knows the owner, and that place has another operation in New York. They're not going to do it to me, because they know what's liable to happen on the radio. You'd better be authentic calamari. I don't say calamari now, because the Italian from Howard Beach called yesterday from the ABC. In the third hour, he hung on for calling, and he said, we don't call it calamari, we call it calamar. I said, yeah, I know a guy who's Sicilian calls it that. I said, but the British call it calamari, so they've given up the Hail Marys. They just go for the calamaries. But in this case, the fact of the matter is, he said that they're substituting pig anus for calamari across America. There's someone pulling off adulterated foods. I said, that could explain the little tainted food poisoning I have, the little, you know, little hint of it. But nevertheless, tonight I'm going to go there. I'm going to do what the old Italians used to do on Mulberry Street. I did this for years. It's why I'm still living. You know what I would have for dinner? I watched old guys. They come in restaurants. They'd order plain pasta with no sauce. Not oil and garlic. Plain pasta. Because after a certain time at night, if you eat dinner, you're not sleeping. I don't care who you are. So tonight I'm going to do like the old Italians used to do, which is plain pasta. No one's going to believe it. I'm going to this expensive, fancy restaurant in downtown Los Angeles with my friends from Hollywood. I don't care what they order. I'm the host. It's actually a little book party. Do you know that? I'm putting on a book party for 8 for Teddy and me, Confessions of a Service Human. I'm giving everyone a copy of the book. The only problem is Teddy isn't here. He's the only one missing as the star of the show. He's back in Northern California eating chicken, carrots, and kibble. I hope he's listening to the show. Irene, if he's listening to the show, just call in and we'll have him bark on air. Again, the phone number here, although it was sold out, don't bother, is 855-407-282. That's the opening, but I'm going to take a couple of calls. I'm warming up. I got a big cup of Earl Grey tea waiting with nothing in it because of the pig stuff that I ate the other night. The stomach is rumbling and grumbling. I'm going to skip lunch. I'm just going to do a show. Do you think Trump is on track? Have you lost faith in Trump? Is he being undermined from within? Should Trump apologize to Sharia Khan, father? If Hillary becomes president, what's your greatest fear? Are you a Republican who will vote for Clinton, and why? Well, let me turn it around. Are you a Democrat who will still vote for Trump? I'd like one call on that, because that was happening. We were getting a lot of blue-collar guys. His whole campaign depends upon the white guy. If the white guys are stupid enough to dig their own grave and vote for her, I can't help them. If they're that dumb that they're going to vote for a socialist, anti-woman, anti-male president, I can't help them. They get what they deserve. Why would they vote for Hillary Clinton? Why would any white man vote for a woman who wants to use whiteout on you. Let's put it to you that way. Why would any white man vote for a Democrat when all Democrats stand for one thing only, which is, quote, diversity, which is a code word for anti-white, and B, using whiteout on white men? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUICOIN. Who is listening to this and not smiling? You're really in trouble, let me tell you. If it doesn't bring a smile to your face, you're a sick person. You're a born Democrat. Worse yet, you could be a progressive. Humorless communists. But nevertheless, here we are, and the questions are laid out. I can't repeat them at every break. I will take calls on these topics. They're really good. But, you know, one of my statements keeps resonating back in my own brain, and I'm going with my own feedback mechanism, which is something a good talk show host has, all of us do, which is a feedback of our own questions and comments. And one of them keeps bouncing back at me like a... not a racquetball, but a squash ball coming off the, a fourth wall. I watched the squash game a few weeks ago. I never saw a game as fast as that in my life. I mean, these guys are amazing. Nevertheless, the ball comes back at me with this thing, which is the burkas on Rodeo Drive. What are they doing there? The town right now, L.A., is filled with Saudis in particular because it's hot in the Middle East, as you know. And to them, this is like winter. To come here for like high 70s, low 80s is better than 110 in the desert. So they bring the whole family, the security team. They walk around on Rodeo. Okay, fine. They're humans like all of us. But what are they doing on Rodeo Drive? They're such Orthodox Muslims. And I've no doubt that they are. They're wearing the costume. The men aren't, though. It's an interesting thing is you look at the teenage boys, they look like an American boy. No outfits, no nothing. An undershirt. Just kids. The girls are not bound by any strictures, but the women are wrapped up in that costume. Now, you know, I was walking with Mrs. Esther. She says to me, well, what do you prefer, that or that? So she points at one of the harlots of Rodeo. We're walking with a dress where you had to turn your head away because you felt like you were going to be arrested for looking at, like a striptease show. You don't know which way to turn. So I said, you know, you make a good point. I said, well, you know who's doing this. It's God trying to balance things out. The country's become so sick, so degenerate, what they've done to the women of this country. We're 8-year-old girls in America dressing like prostitutes. The mother, of course, doesn't know the difference. The mother was raised to behave and dress like that. So you say, what am I being misogynistic? No, I'm actually just a social observer. I mean, there's like a scale of balance. So we've gone so far in one direction where they reveal their whole body, and it's kind of embarrassing in some ways for some guys. When you're walking down the street, you want to look like you're crazy. On the other hand, okay, so the guy puts his wife in the other thing, so you don't look at her. That's the whole point. It's modesty. Where is the balance going to come in this country, I ask myself. And, you know, and another plus is these women, I'm not talking about the full body thing with the slits. To me, that should be banned in any country except in the throwback nations they come from. Because I know something about Islam, and correct me if you're a Muslim, correct me if I'm wrong, that is not in the Quran. It does not say you have to put your wife in a tent. The burqa is not in the Quran. It's just not there. That's a medieval costume that does not belong in a Western nation. It's been banned in France for a reason, for a number of reasons, security reasons amongst others. So I really don't have a problem with a modest dress, with a hijab. It's kind of okay. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't matter whether it bothers me. I'm saying just even observing it doesn't really offend me. And the clothing is extremely clean. At least it's clean. I mean, compare it to the dresses that the women wear in Mill Valley, California. It's a plus. They wear $1 dresses from, well, let's not go there. This is a family show. But it's just an observation that I had to get it out of my system. I misspelled Los Angeles just now. I was sending someone an email. I said, fax me something to Los Angeles, and I wrote Los Ageless. I thought that was good because we've all heard, the city of Los Angeles, that we know. Has anyone done Los Angeles, where they use fetal growth hormone? They chop up body baby parts here to look younger? Oh, that's awful to men, the hair plug men. Awful, just awful, the hair plug men. Why can't they just age gracefully? Why do they have to continue to look like they're 20? You know, there's nothing more tasteless than an older man who's trying to look 20. I don't say keep yourself in shape, but what do you have to look like at 20 for with hair plugs? Who are you fooling? That's like the squirm factor. Where are we? See, I don't have a show start clock, which shows me the countdown. My AP Telos machine is not working correctly. WMAL, Mike, line 7, what's your comment? What's your topic?
Donald Trump, he's too immature. His children, his two boys and his daughter have to tell him how to act. That's pretty bad, Michael. He's a disgrace right now. I was a huge fan of his. I rooted for him for weeks. He's bloody with me. You tell my voice. I'm just infuriated with him. Second.
Look, I have no way to know whether you're not a Hillary robocaller or not. Truthfully, what is it about Trump that worries you?
I'm not voting for either of them. They're both losers, in my opinion. He's such a...
Are you really not going to vote at all? Is that the right decision, do you think?
I'm not even registered to vote.
Wait a minute. Well, what, are you in prison?
No.
Well, if you're not registered to vote, thanks for calling. That's like a poll, you know, with a poll of 1,000 people, 200 of which are registered to vote, and the other 800 were found in a bathroom somewhere. I can't keep playing the same music, so I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you. Do we have time right now, 2 minutes or 1 minute? What do I have here? Again, the music. And I don't get a heart attack or a stroke from the pressure I'm under. It's a miracle. It's a miracle, considering my genetic inheritance, that I'm still living, number one, and number two, I can take this pressure. Last night, I'll give you an example. I told you I didn't sleep the first night, strange bed. You want to hear last night? I bought an alarm clock, a wind-up, a manual wind-up. I like them. They tick in the room. The thing goes off at midnight. I jumped up out of bed with my heart pounding. I accidentally set the alarm for midnight by accident.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage to the hour. You know, so I'm asking you a number of questions, and another one that comes back that I think is a prime one is, what do you fear most about a Clinton presidency? And there's no better answer to that than what's going on in New York City under de Blasio, who is akin to Hillary in some ways because he's a radical leftist with a sense of tolerance for the bums, the hookers, and the crackheads, like Hillary. Hillary will have tolerance for crackheads, bums, hookers, trannies, and she will have no tolerance for patriots and conservatives, in plain English. I mean, let's get down to brass tacks. So I'm looking at an article today in the New York Post, crackheads, bums, and hookers rule Washington Square Park. The cops look the other way. They're openly consuming heroin and other hard drugs, steps away from children's playground. It's like Dinkins' mayorship back in New York, but worse. This is what happens when you have an ultra-tolerant, liberal administration. It's not liberal at all. There's another word for it, but it's not liberal. Drug dealers selling drugs in Washington Square Park in Manhattan, counting their money. Cops are there saying to people who come over them, calm down. Another man urinating on a tree. The Parks Department worker says he and his colleagues have quit cleaning up the area because they're scared of the addicts. This is what goes on when a society degenerates. Drug use, prostitution, gambling in the open air. No cops. When asked why they weren't cracking down on the lawlessness, which they could see, one cop said, we aren't even here for that specifically. There's a unit that's dealing with all of that. I can't say more than that. So when you say ultra tolerance and you say, oh, that's what I want, I'm a liberal and I want liberation from an overbearing police force, I want liberation from an overbearing moralistic society, this is what you get. This is exactly what you get with a liberal government. What you're having in New York, it's going to affect property values eventually. And only when it starts affecting the property values of wealthy liberals will they suddenly scream that we need a law and order candidate and beg someone like Giuliani to run New York again. This is how it works. So why would you want Hillary, who is not only like Obama 2.0, but I think much worse than Obama in many ways? Yesterday he gave a speech saying that he's actually defeating ISIS, which no one believes in the world. Everyone laughs at the guy. And then he gives an answer that it's because of Muslim American patriotism that we're defeating ISIS. You got to hear clip 11. I'm asking you if this man is in reality or not. Listen to 11.
One of the reasons that we don't have networks and cells that are as active here as they are in certain parts of Europe is because the Muslim American community in this country is extraordinarily patriotic, and Okay. Largely successful.
Earth to Barry. I know you just had a big shindig in the White House last night with all sorts of rap stars, but maybe you've come out of the hangover now. You didn't hear about Orlando, where a whole number of gays were killed by Muslims? You didn't hear about San Bernardino, where innocent workers were killed by two Muslims? What are you talking about? What do you mean we don't have active cells? Your own FBI said that there's over 1,000 under surveillance. So here's the situation. As bad as it is now, I think it'll get worse under Hillary. She's not the Iron Lady she pretends to be. She's an Iron Lady towards Republicans and an Iron Lady toward patriotic Americans who don't like her or her politics. But she's not an Iron Lady when it comes to the things that need to be irony about. So what do you fear the most about Hillary? That's one question. Many others. If you just tuned in, I can't catch you up. Please sit in the back of the class and get the Savage Cliff Notes from someone next to you. Line 1, Paul, WABC in New York. What's on your mind, Paul?
Hi, Dr. Savage. I just want to have an answer to your question that you had in regards to that women are not modest in the United States, and the only way to have that modesty is through finding the balance. I have the answer for the balance, Dr. Savage. That's the Orthodox Jewish person. Those people in the Orthodox community definitely have an...
Yes, they dress in a dignified, modest way, but I have an issue with making your wife wear a wig.
Well, Dr. Savage, no one's making your wife. The wives do it for themselves.
So let me ask you about it. Let's clear the air. Why do Orthodox Jewish women wear wigs? Do they shave their heads and wear a wig?
No, some do because they try to be more strict, but some don't. But they feel there's a certain level of modesty when they do wear a wig.
Don't you think it's crazy to take what God gave you, your hair, and cut it off?
Then again, Dr. Savage, you asked the question, how are the women more modest? There has to be a sense of modesty in America. You yourself were calling for it, and I have an answer for you.
You answered me already. The dress I have, as a non-religious Jew, I'd like to ask you, why do you make women wear wigs? You're saying you don't?
The women make them come from themselves. Nobody forces. This isn't a society that forces people to do anything.
You know, I've read the Bible. I've read the Torah. I know. I don't see anything which says a woman has to wear a wig. Where'd that come from?
That came from it's actually a tradition, and it's called a minhag. And a minhag is, as the rabbis of 2,000 years ago said, that a minhag is actually just as strong. A person that doesn't keep a tradition is just as bad as not keeping the Torah.
Well, okay, I understand. Rabbis can say anything. They're all over the map. Rabbi means teacher. They could be crazy. They could be great. They could be sages. They could be dunces. But this is not in the Torah. This is not in the Bible. This was written by somebody when, in the 1800s?
Yes, this is a tradition that was accepted.
Right, it came up in the 1800s in Poland, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yes, you might know it better than me, actually.
I don't know it better than you. Can't you Orthodox people sit down one day and say, you know what, maybe it's time to get rid of that, to make a woman wear a wig?
No, because you yourself call for modesty in the United States. You just did that 10 minutes ago on your radio.
I understand, but where does modesty say a woman has to wear a wig?
Because if a woman without her hair covered and a woman with her hair covered is supposed to be and is more modest. And you yourself...
Yeah, if you want to follow the reasoning on that, what about modesty of that nature applying to a man? What should he do?
Don't go there, Dr. Savage. You said yourself this is a family show.
No, I understand, but why must a woman bear the burden of the question of modesty and not a man? Men also walk around dressed like chorus boys.
Here's the answer, Dr. Savage. The woman, if you, I'm sure you're familiar with the Bible. Women do not have the obligation to do as many commandments as men, because women, their main priority is to be pure, is to be modest. And that's their main commandment. And therefore, because of that, many of the commandments of women were abolished. Because their main...
I think you made your point, and I'm not here to ridicule you. I'm not here to mock you. It started with me seeing women clad in hijabs all over Beverly Hills, mainly Rodeo Drive yesterday. And I never saw as many in America in my life. And I'm saying maybe they're all from Saudi Arabia, and I was shocked by it as a social observer. I'm not talking about one out of, 50. I'm talking about one out of six, one out of eight. It was like walking around in Riyadh here. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. Why are they all here, number one? If, in other words, I know they come here from Saudi Arabia in August when it's hot there. They have, a lot of them have homes here and whatnot. But what is this about going to Rodeo Drive? How does an Orthodox Muslim woman figure that out? What is she doing on Rodeo Drive is what I'm asking.
Exactly. That's, I, you know, that's a question for you to answer. That's why you yourself come to realize that the Jewish religion is, I'm not trying to bring you closer to Judaism, but you always speak, you always search for God, and you always talk, I listen to your radio show a lot, and you always search for God. So you yourself are asking these questions on Muslims, so you, and you're coming to the realization that the Orthodox way of life has some meaningful and purpose. So
that's, of course it does. Absolutely. Without the Orthodox way of life, there would be no Judaism at all.
Exactly.
There'd be nothing left. Nobody would remember what it even was.
Right.
You know, if you become a bagel and lox Jew and you go to temple on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and that's it, that's the end of the religion.
Exactly. So, Dr. Savage.
So, don't think that we secular Jews do respect the Orthodox community enormously. In other words, you keep the whole balance sheet. I get that. But there are some traditions I don't understand.
Like what, Dr. Savage?
Well, 100 of them. You guys walk around with a burden on you I could never follow. 313 commandments?
Well, Dr. Savage, these commandments give us a purpose to life, and they give us meaning.
I get it. I get it. I could never walk around with that. I'm going to walk around every second worrying about I'm doing something wrong. Every turn I make, I turn left at the wrong time. I should have turned right. I look north at the wrong time of day. I should have looked south. I put my right foot in front of my left foot in the middle of the day, and I violated the commandment because I should have been the right left foot in front of the right foot. I've seen what neurosis it creates in people. All right, look, I'm not here to ridicule anybody much. This is the Savage Nation. I'm glad I still have some authentic Jewish listeners. I thought they all left me. I thought they were mad at me for some reason. I mean, my numbers are very big in New York. Maybe they still like me. Who knows? Oh, by the way, thanks for calling. I got a memo from the chief person who I deal with at the Trump campaign. Because I said, will Mr. T ever appear on the Savage Nation again? And the unnamed individual said, of course he will, with all of the events he's had scheduled. It's been very hard for us to schedule him for the Savage Nation. So I said, what did I say to her? I said something like, okay, we'll tell them. So she said to me, we'll tell them what? I think she got nervous. So I said, we'll tell them that Donald still loves them. She's, oh, great. That's all. So, all right, he's busy. But you know what? I don't buy it, truthfully. Because he goes on, you know, another guy's show who is running against me and he can't beat me. But he's on a show every other day. So, I mean, I don't buy that at all. It's because the other guy's more mainstream Republican, middle of the road. And I guess they're a little leery of me. You know, I get it. I'm a wild card. And maybe they're just not sure what I'll ask him. That's okay. I'm still going to vote for him. I'm not going to vote for a crazy left-wing Democrat who has so many question marks surrounding her. I will never do it. Because I think Obama is a man who belongs in prison. I think he's violated the law virtually as often as he can, including the $400 million he sent to Iran. You know, maybe you've swept it under the rug. That's one of the big stories of our lifetime. That a gonif president like this would go around the law and send $400 million on an unmarked military cargo jet, painting over the USA, the stripes on it, and send $400 million in Swiss francs and in Central European bank currency in order to get around the law. To me, that's the act of a criminal. It's money laundering. If you go to an airport with over $10,000 or you transfer more than $10,000, you go to jail, right? He sent $400 million to the gangsters in Iran, and he's telling me no big deal. Remember yesterday? Oh, why did this become such a problem? Hey, that's no biggie. You know, it's that right-wing conspiracy again. Let's move on. Michelle and I have so many other things to talk about, like the rap stars in the White House tonight. Is this a big story? I said to someone who sent it to me this morning, I said, let me tell you something. I don't think the average person cares about the $400 million. That's not resonating with them. It's not. You see, this is the problem. It's too esoteric and too abstract. It's a huge story. It's a criminal act. He violated many different laws. Does it have legs, as they say, with the average person? I don't think so. But if Donald Trump burps, 18 newspapers around the globe cover Donald Trump burps, shows he's unqualified to eat dinner. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. You know, I say that a lot every day, although I'm not a religious man. You don't know how often, in my own way, I'm very, very spiritual, and I know there's a God. There's nothing more I can say. I don't know that I need the rituals. Maybe I do. Maybe that's why I'm not a completely whole person. But I've met so many ultra-religious people who are not whole people either. They're incomplete. I don't believe that if you're super religious, it makes you a complete person necessarily. I don't think that there's an easy road to nirvana. Let me put it to you that way. I don't think there's a single answer. And I think, on this, since we're doing this on a Friday, which of course is a very spiritual day for all three of the world's major religions, and I think about God, where is God? And when I get worried or I can't figure it out, all I do is I pray to God to lead me in the right direction and be there for me. There's nothing else I can do. So I think I'm saying something to you here, which is that God drives almost everything I do, almost everything I say. Almost everything. Sometimes I jump the wall. Sometimes I jump the monastery. I do. I guess that's what makes me human. There's nothing else I can do about it. But don't tell me I'm alone in that. How many holy rollers do you know who, go over to the wild side and don't tell anyone about it, right? Like many of them? Go take a look in the religious communities what they're really doing on the side. And it's the same with all of the people with the super religious costumes. And this is part of the problem for the non-religious world, which is they say they're all hypocrites. I've heard that 1,000 times. I don't go there and say they're all this or they're all that. That's like saying all people who are not religious are this or that, because we're not all this or that. So this overgeneralization about other human beings, I think, is the real path to godlessness, as far as I'm concerned. It's not a bad sermon for the day. Maybe I should go down that road. People have said, you don't know this. You don't know how many years people have said to me, Savage, you have the mind and the charisma and the voice particularly to be a guru. I said, no kidding. Why don't you set up this? Why don't you do a service on Sunday or on Saturday? I said, because I'm not a religious figure. I don't want to be one of those guys with the 12 Rolls Royces with the flowing robes who's secretly on the side. You know what I'm saying? I don't need that. I could do it. You think I couldn't have people come and join a community where I say, the world's coming to an end if Hillary wins and we're going to move to North Dakota. I bought 1,000 acres. So if you come up there and give me your life savings, you know, I'll let you live in the communal household. And there are guys doing that every day of the week. See, to me, that is a violation of a gift that God gives you. If you use your powers of persuasion or a voice, what you're doing is you're using it for the wrong reasons. You know, one of my favorite shows what's the one on? The con man one. It's on channel, it's right after CNN. I can't forget it, where they show all the con men and the cons they run. And do you know how many of them are religious who use the church to con other churchgoers and rob them of their life savings? What is it called? American Greed. American Greed. I love that show. I don't watch it all the time, but I like to watch it because I can't believe the various walks of life that these people come from who are the worst con men. And some of the worst, are church-going guys who use the church congregation to rob. And so you got to be very careful. People are very in need of leadership. People want to believe in somebody. And so they're easily taken advantage of. Like right now, the con man, the Muslim gold star dad that's causing Trump a lot of trouble. He's saying Allah is tripping up Trump.
Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Today, America learned there was a shipment of $400 million worth of foreign currency on a secret air cargo flight to that country. Did you know that was coming, and do you approve of it?
Well, the White House has addressed this, and I think actually This is kind of old news. It was first reported about 7 or 8 months ago, as I recall.
Oh, right.
And so far as I know, it had nothing to do with any kind of hostage swap or
Liar.
Any other tit for tat. It was something
me.
That
this is a family
was
show.
Intended to, as I am told, pay back Iran for contracts that were canceled when the Shah fell.
The fact that she was caught lying again. Oh, this is old news. This is the official line now coming out of the Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, Barack Obama lie machine. Oh, Bashar, there's nothing to see here. Let's move on. Let's talk about children. And let's talk about children's rights and women. Oh, Bashar, this is old news now. Come on. Come on, Mr. Reporter. You don't wind up. You don't want to wind up dead in the street, do you? Come on now. Nothing to do with the kind of hostage swap or any other blankety-blank. It was to pay Iran back for contracts that were canceled when the Shah fell. Well, if you go to the top of the Drudge Report, you can see an actual video of Iran boasting about it, saying that it was a tit-for-tat. It was a win-lose deal that hurts the USA, with Iran showing off the ransom cash, all to free the hostages. And the plane waited until the money arrived with the hostages. Breitbart, freed Iranian hostage, says, Iranians told me they were waiting for another plane to arrive before letting us go. It was a complete and total blackmail. Complete and total blackmail. So Hillary's caught lying again, caught with her skirt. Well, okay, let's let it go. It's irrelevant. It's a deal that hurts our standing. And well, let's put that aside. It's illegal. Can we stop already? Could Trump have been right, asks Mail Online in England. Could Trump have been right? Propaganda films suggest Iran did videotape cash drop plane and photograph shipment of cash during January prisoner swap. February documentary data on Iranian state TV shows nighttime flight, pallet of cash matching prisoner swap scenario. Donald Trump claimed three times this week that he had seen similar footage and that Iran had filmed the cash transfer to embarrass America. He walked back that claim Friday morning, that's today, saying he had only seen archival footage of a different plane delivering hostages safely to Geneva. He may have been right without knowing it. Propaganda broadcast shows the images and boasts the deal was great for Iran, but terrible for the United States of America. So there's no question to ask you about this. What can I ask you? What can I ask you? It's an administration that spits on everyone. He laughs at everybody. Barack Obama is on top of being an arrogant human being, a completely disconnected human being from reality. So what good is all of it? Well, you have an election coming up. You want more of this or less of it? So you say, oh, well, Trump's unfit at any speed. You know, my friends, it would be anyone but Hillary. That's the motto. I don't care if you don't like Trump's inarticulate deliveries. I don't care if you don't like his gaffes. We know who Hillary is. We know what we're going to get with Hillary. And if you want Obama 3.0 but worse, then you vote for Hillary. That's how I see it. So although I am critical of the way Trump's campaign is being run at times, don't get me wrong here. Don't ever misinterpret what I'm saying to you. We have no choice. It's down to the wire. I'm in a sweat every day over the thought of it. You think it's a joke to me? It's not an esoteric joke. I am in the First Amendment business. I do talk radio. That's all I do. I write books, best-selling books that are extremely critical of government. Now imagine living in a world like that of Canada or of Europe, where these are considered illegal acts to speak your mind. There is no freedom of speech in Europe. There is no freedom of speech in Canada. And Hillary Clinton wants to model the future of America upon Europe and Canada, not upon our own constitutional freedoms. So be very clear about it. Because right now you may be celebrating, oh, you're a great progressive. Tomorrow that guillotine could hit your tongue. Let me put it to you that way. And you progressives of all people should know how important freedom of speech is. Because you shoot your mouths off pretty good day and night. And if you want to live in a country where the rules suddenly apply to everybody the same way, watch out what you ask for, because it's just liable to happen. You'll be hit harder than I will. And as far as books go, Do you think that under Hillary Clinton, I would be permitted to publish my last book, Government Zero? Do you think that my last great book, well, I should say my last great nonfiction book, which is out right after Labor Day, it's called Scorched Earth, which is Restoring America After Obama, and it's all about we have no choice but Donald Trump, incidentally. That's a book you have to buy and give to a neighbor who's not sure, or a wife or a husband who's not sure. Why? Because if they're willing to read something, they will see the damage that the con man in the White House has done and is doing on a daily basis. You say, I know it all, I don't need to. No, you do need to have a document of it. Nobody has documented more clearly than I have in Scorched Earth what this man is doing. You know what he just did? Here's another one. I mean, it's hard to keep up with this guy. Yesterday goes to a rap crack dance last night in the White House, which was nauseating to me. You talk about a loss of dignity. You talk about modesty. Here's a man who's one of the finest con men in history. The most immodest president in modern American history has rap stars, one a former drug dealer, performing for him and his wife in the White House, and then next day acts like Mr. Religious and straight and moderate. No one is better at him than conning the fools out there. But the fact of the matter is, today we wake up and he says he's going to go around Congress and he's going to ban nuclear testing. What do you think checks and balances are for? What do you think a Congress, as imperfect as it is for? It's to check a maniac like him. So this guy does whatever he wants. There are no consequences because he owns the shoeshine boy, Wolf Blitzer, and the others like him. Jake Tapper makes believe he's a big independent reporter. He may as well put a shoeshine brush on his tongue for the way he's been behaving with Obama and with Hillary. They don't need a shoeshine brush with Jake Tapper. All they need him to lick their shoes. I'm sorry to be so guttural about it. This is how I see it. It's nauseating. Because we no longer have an independent press, largely. We have a dictatorship that has emerged. So that's the prelude. That's why I'm supporting Trump from day one. Do I actually think I will get 50% of what he promises? No. No, I don't. The way I've seen his campaign go, I'm down to 20. If I get 20% of what Trump promises delivered, I would consider it a great victory for America. Because I know with Hillary, I'm going to get less than, not 0% of what America needs and what I personally think we need. It's going to be less than zero, much less than zero. It'll be a negative 50. She'll make us look like the European Union, defenseless. Defenseless. And that's what I'm saying. And then we're talking about religious things on this Friday in the Savage Nation. You're listening to Michael Savage, the host of the show. I'm broadcasting live from Lollipop Land. I opened the last hour by an observation that's quite unique, which is I was on Rodeo Drive yesterday here in Beverly Hills, and I was stunned. I thought I was in Istanbul by the number of women wearing headscarves, hijabs, which I don't find particularly offensive, by the way. The burqas offend me deeply because I think they're offensive to humanity and to women, and they're not even in the Quran. It's an interpretation of a maniac from the Middle Ages. They don't belong in any Western nation. They should be banned as they are banned in France. What man would do that to his wife who loves his wife? Only a man who oppresses women will put his woman in a burqa. I could certainly see you putting, you see what I'm saying, putting her in a hijab. You hear what I just said? You realize how sexist that is to begin with? Telling her she has to wear a headscarf and wear modest clothing. What if she wants to wear a miniskirt, even if she's misshapen? You should tell her she can't and slap her around like you do in the Middle East? That's not our way of life. So the minute you see a woman walking around like that, you know she's an oppressed woman. That's all. And how the feminists don't say anything is obvious to me why. Because it's a fraudulent organization from the beginning. Let's go for some of these calls. It's a good topic. Line 1, WABC in New York. Great station. What's on your mind, my friend?
Hi. I talked to somebody before about why Orthodox women cover their hair, and I feel that it was we were completely misrepresented. So I'm studying to be a rabbi, and the source material is in a verse that says, we'll say it in Hebrew quickly, which means you shall not come.
Sir, wait, listen. Here's the problem I have with neophyte rabbis. Don't lecture us like you're in a classroom. What is it you're actually trying to say to a general audience of millions right now about what's the topic first of all?
Well, the topic is why Jewish women cover their hair.
Okay, and what's the answer?
The answer is that it's sourced in a verse that says, you shall not come close to revealing. In Hebrew, the word is an erva. And an erva is discussed in the Talmud what exactly...
Here we go again. What do they want a woman to do? Walk around how?
A married woman will cover her hair. There are certain parts of the body that should not be revealed.
All right, we'll cover her hair. So that's where it comes from in the Arabic or the Muslim tradition. They got it from the same source. Does that mean that the woman has to wear a wig?
She doesn't have to wear a wig. She can wear whatever she wants. She can wear something...
Right. So when I was a young kid, most of the women who were not religious wore a scarf over their hair in New York when I was young.
That's right.
And they were not even religious, but they went out with a scarf over their hair. Now, like a kerchief, rather, over their hair. But nobody cut their hair off and put on a wig?
Shaving your head is something that just showed up a few hundred, 200 years ago. It's ironic because it completely, as far as my Masorah called, the tradition that I have from my rabbis and my forefathers, is that it's actually something... that's contradictory for something else in the Torah. Explicitly shows somewhere else in the Torah that shaving your head...
I'm getting a bit of a migraine, because this is the problem with religion. Every rule you find is another rule that counteracts it. So, an Orthodox woman needs to dress modestly. That we all understand and respect. Okay? We don't expect an Orthodox woman of any religion to walk around looking like a harlot from ancient Jerusalem. We get that. But I am talking about two things. In the Muslim tradition, the fanatics who make their wives wear burqas, not hijabs, and in the Orthodox Jewish tradition, the men who force their wives to wear wigs as opposed to a kerchief. I think that they're both too extreme in that regard.
They force them to wear wigs? Who forces their wives to wear wigs?
All right. Well, welcome to America. Welcome to Lollipop Land. Now, you know, this is funny because now we're going to have only calls now on wigs now. You know, we've stopped already talking about Trump and Hillary. Everyone turned the show off. I don't think everyone's... Maybe they want to talk about the $400 million in ransom instead of a wig. I don't know. It's beautiful. Talk radio is great because it's fluid. The thing about language is that language is powerful and it's fluid and it moves the mind in different directions. You know, there's a saying. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I had a friend many years ago who was a printer, a fine printer. Not a general, not a greeting cards or books. He did very fine, high-end printing in his own little print shop. He was a master. His name was Jack. Wonderful man. And he used to print these limited editions of things. 50 copies, you know, numbered. That kind of guy. He's still around. He's about 100 years old. He's a great man. Wonderful person. Very kind man. I haven't seen him in 10 years. But I'll never forget, I was in his print shop once. In San Francisco somewhere, I don't remember where, and he had a poster up that was printed by him, and it said, to the Hebrew, the word is the deed. And I didn't know where it came from. Can anyone help me on that one? It said, to the Hebrew, the word is the deed. I don't know whether that is Shakespearean. Some Christian scholar wrote, to the Hebrew, the word is the deed. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUYCOIN. We're going to come back and talk only about Trump and Hillary with the questions I started with, but you know, it's time for a round of applause. A story just came out of Rio de Janeiro where the opening ceremonies tonight for yet another sporting event. I will not watch the Olympics. You like it, good. God bless you, fine. Now listen to this headline. Russian diplomat drags armed robber into his vehicle and shoots him dead near Rio Olympic venue. Motorcycle thief smashes window of consul staff's BMW, but is killed by martial arts expert. So one of the Brazilians, you know, well known for thieves, comes by on a motorcycle. Guy sitting at a traffic light. He's a Russian diplomat, so-called. He's in a BMW X6. The motorcycle thief points a gun at him. The Russian grabs the robber's hand, pulls him partway into the car, turns the gun on him and kills him, and then throws the body in the street. Officials saw a body of dead mugger lying on the ground. Let's have a round of applause for the Russian diplomat. He didn't call the United Nations. He didn't call the ACLU. He didn't want an investigation. The Russian vice consul, well, anyway, you got the picture. Marco Cesar Ferres Braga, a Brazilian lawyer who holds the vice consul post at the Russian consulate. Oh, he's a Brazilian martial artist. Reportedly grabbed the attacker and pulled him into his car after he had smashed the car with something you only see in a movie. Who would have the presence of mind if a guy on a motorcycle puts a gun to you, to your head in a car? You have the presence of mind to pull him in? It's a movie thing. He did it. Turn the gun, the wrist, and that's it. Nice. Mr. Braga is trained in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Oh, he's traveling with his wife and daughter at the same time. A typical, yeah, a real American reaction. This is wonderful. The mugger who was on a motorbike with another man struck it around midday. I wouldn't go to Brazil if they gave me $100,000 plus free airfare and a lesson in the salsa, the samba. Sorry.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now 855-400-SAVAGE 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, Donald Trump is speaking live right now at a rally somewhere. Where is he? I don't know where he is. What town is he in? Wisconsin. I guess they need the votes. Let's listen in for a few minutes on the Savage Nation.
A couple of years ago when he came out, he was bragging to some of his friends. Unfortunately, one of his friends had a cell phone going, a camera, and they saw it was a whole hoax, right? But it's going to fall anyway because you look at the numbers, almost 60% in Texas. It just came out. Almost 60% increase in Texas. And I'm just looking at other states. The numbers are incredible. The big numbers are coming out on November 1st, 8 days before the election. November 1st. And they're trying to delay those numbers 1 month because they are election-changing numbers. And
I think he's talking about taxes in Wisconsin, isn't he?
They're disgraceful.
State taxes.
She mysteriously chose to ignore the lessons from recent terrorist attacks in San Bernardino, Paris, Belgium, Nice, Orlando, London.
He is right.
How about London? How about these places? Look what's happening to our world.
He's right.
A friend of mine loves France. Goes to France a lot. And always loved it. And I hadn't seen him in a while. I said, how did you like France? He said, I didn't go. France is no longer France. I don't go to France anymore. You look at Nice. Look at that. But this is a guy who loves Paris. Doesn't love it anymore. And he said, France is no longer France. Well, the United States will be the United States again. Believe me. The United States will be the United States.
Gratitude, but they're good ones. USA, there we go again. That's all we need. That's
we believe. These
that's
again.
Enough already. Had enough already. A platitude a day keeps the brains away. But I'll still vote for him. Maybe he could say how he's going to keep us as America. He could add a little punchline, like he will build the wall. He will ban Muslims from terrorist nations. He will incarcerate all those on watch lists in preventative detention. That would be nice to hear, but of course the media would go in more insane than they already are. So he can't say it. So he's got to speak in platitudes that they can't touch. Look what she does. Oh, come on now. That's an old story, that mere $400 million. Oh, come on. To Bill and I, that's hardly a year's work. Come on now. What's $400 million to Iran? Why, that's an old story. Yeah. Yeah, nothing to us. Well, we took that in the first 6 months of this year, given that I might be president soon. Imelda Marcos had nothing on me. Forget Evita Perón. She was a small plantain compared to me. So, yeah, they all speak in platitudes. So I'll go back to my questions. Well, let's go back to Donald Trump for a minute. Maybe something new is coming up on Paul Ryan. This is live.
I made a great choice.
This is live. I like it.
Mike Pence, one of my great decisions. That was a good decision.
Schmendrick.
I will take my guy.
No, it's fine. I don't know who Pence is, like a Schmentz. I don't know what he picked him for. Where's this guy come from? Couldn't he have picked a war hero? Somebody? Like Cotton? Who at least has a record? Mike Pence is like a nice guy, like an Eagle Scout. with a nice family who was unassailable. I guess so they picked him. It's like, look, the message was very clear, as I said before, if you just missed it. I said it when he picked Pence. He could have picked a conservative woman. He could have picked an African-American conservative of the type we all love. But what he's saying here is he's sending a message. You have a choice right now between two straight white males to save America or the opposite. He's sending a message. Because I don't see the appeal of Pence other than it just augments the image, which is nothing wrong with that for me. America was pretty good when it was run by straight white males, by the way. Oh, no, don't give me the slavery story again. Everything doesn't have to be put through the filter of 1815 or 1850. I'm not talking about 1850. Right away, the alarm bells go off. It's either Holocaust or slavery. Every statement you make has to be run through those filters. No, it doesn't. No, I liked America when it was run by Dwight D. Eisenhower. I thought it was pretty good. Wasn't even bad under JFK, by the way, a Democrat who would today be a radical right-wing conservative. If JFK was alive today, the media would rip him to shreds, call him a Nazi. If JFK were running instead of Donald Trump, Wolf Blitzer would be putting him in an SS uniform. If it was JFK running instead of Trump, Wolf Blitzer would be putting him in an SA uniform, with every day another picture of him in an SA uniform at a secret Halloween bash. So, yeah, I like JFK, straight white male. What's wrong with that? Let's go back again. Let's dip in again. Let's see if anything comes up out of the platitude machine.
It's like so many other lies. It's another lie. Same day, just a coincidence, right? Cash.
All right, here we go.
And
cash.
I guess one of the hostages like said yesterday, or the day before, that they had to wait at the airport for an inordinate
Well, I covered it already.
Time.
He's right 100%. They should be in prison for it. Will they be? No. Iran shows off ransom cash. Go to the Drudge Report if you want to see a movie of it. It was a payout, a payback. It was a bailout job, a win-lose deal that hurt the United States of America that Hillary and Barack Obama did. Over the objections of the Justice Department, if you can believe it, who said don't do it. It's a violation of law. And Hillary overrode that. I mean, this should disqualify her right away. But what are you going to say to crazy women who believe in her because she's not a man? What are you going to say to them? You think they care about the facts? No. That's all. Let's take a call. I asked you a loaded question earlier about Trump and a loaded question about Hillary. All right? KSFO, Doug, line two. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, actually, I wanted to talk about the Trump getting off track. He's not focusing on what we all are looking for as our new president. He gets sidetracked with these little arguments with these little people. And we need him to act like our president, not like our defender of people that are flinging stuff around.
So give me an example of what offends you the most.
What offends me the most is he picks fights with these with this guy and his son that died in the war, and he didn't need to pick a fight with this.
Yeah, no, that was a mistake. The Gold Star father, I don't like him. He's a radical Muslim underneath the exterior of being moderate. Today, did you hear what came out today? He says Allah is tripping up Trump. I'll bet you didn't read that anywhere.
Well, you know, I don't get a chance to listen to your show live. I have to wait till it comes out on your...
You're listening now. Kazir Khan says Allah is causing Trump to make stupid mistakes. Where did he say this? As he waved the U.S. Constitution the other night? He said it on Pakistani television. The father of martyred U.S. soldier Captain Humayun Khan, God bless his soul, that's con man Kazir Khan, said Thursday that Trump is unacceptable to the U.S. He said that Allah makes people like Trump to make mistakes, to discredit them in public eyes forever, according to Dunya News. I don't know what Dunya News is. It's in Pakistan. Now, wait, it gets even worse. He said, I held up the Constitution only because I wanted to remind people that nobody could be discriminated against in the name of religion. So, in other words, he was using our Constitution and saying he doesn't even believe in it. He only believes in Sharia law. So the fact of the matter is, Kazir Khan is a con man. But right now, the problem for Trump is he can't win. Certain battles you cannot win. This was one of them. Khan is a con man. Kazir Khan is heavily involved in the Clinton Family Foundation visa program via UN corruption and Khan's law firm. Khan was the middleman. It was a pay-for-play corrupt enterprise that sold HB visa approvals to the highest bidder. And these approvals required sign-offs by the State Department during Hillary Clinton's tenure. Okay? Hundreds of millions of dollars went through his hands. And this guy goes to Pakistan and puts down the Constitution, saying it's subservient, basically, to Sharia law. I thought this clown said he was tired of being in the media spotlight. Didn't he say that? Oh, I don't want any more media. In the next second, another interview. We really don't care what Allah says, Khan. We don't live in Syria. We don't live in Pakistan. We really don't pay attention to what Allah says. Allah is tripping up Trump. You hear a thing like this? That didn't make it to Wolf Blitzer's show, did it? Let's go back to Donald Trump for a minute. He's speaking live now in somewhere Wisconsin. Where is he?
Because of the terrorism. And I said,
where?
Very importantly, that the countries within NATO are not, many of them, are not paying their way. So we're protecting them and they're not paying.
Again,
next day in many of the newspapers, Donald Trump hates NATO. I don't hate NATO. I want these countries to pay.
He's right. So what's wrong
with
that statement?
These countries, many of them...
Wait, let's stop for a minute. What is wrong with what he just said? I want these countries to pay. Why shouldn't they pay? What are we carrying them on our backs for? I want lower taxes, not higher taxes. I want the money going to American military needs, not the needs of Japan, which is not a member of NATO, by the way, but we cover for them. Well, the whole world, it's not 1950. The Marshall Plan is over. It's time for them to pay their own bills. And on this, Trump is 1,000% right. Where is he right now? Just tell me where he is. No one... Where? Oh, they told me Wisconsin. Now he's in Iowa. All right, we make mistakes. We're imperfect. We're not perfect here at the Savage Nation. Iowa again. Is that a battleground state? The Cornhuskers down there? You know, I have never been to Iowa in my entire life. That's not a put-down. It's like not a place I ever wanted to go to. I think I have the snobism, basically, of a coastal person. I don't... Like, if a plane went down, I could see spending a night in Iowa. And like, in a Des Moines, like, Holiday Inn. Nice people and all. Anyone under 300 pounds is considered, like, a freak of nature. They're nice people. They provide the basket of the food that we eat. But I don't want to be there. Even though I hate junkies and stuff like that, I can't stand degenerates. I like New York. I mean, I don't like crackheads and whores. I don't want to see them, but I'd rather be in New York than Des Moines. I mean, I get a step over the dirt. I don't like the bums in San Francisco, but I love the city. No desire to ever go to Des Moines. But I guess they vote. See, well, I'm going to talk about this for a minute. I'm going to say it finally. Our main problem in America is that everyone votes. Universal suffrage is what destroyed this country. That is not such a shocking statement when you analyze it. Listen to what I'm saying to you. I didn't say just white men should vote. Please, let's not jump to that conclusion. I'm going to ask you a logical question. Should people who don't pay taxes vote? Why? They're always going to vote themselves a raise. So I would say if you don't pay taxes, you shouldn't vote. So you say, okay, well, what's the number then? What if a guy pays $10 in taxes? No. No, there has to be a minimum fee to vote. I would say you have to pay a certain minimal amount of money in taxes in order to get the vote. I'm not going so far as to say the more you pay, the more votes you should have. That would be real nice. So a few trillionaires would control the world. I didn't go there. So don't accuse me of not being moderate. I'm very rational and very moderate. Tell me what is wrong with my idea that voting should be restricted to taxpayers only, and there should be a minimal amount of federal tax that you pay that permits you to vote. There's like a threshold. I don't know what that might be. If I said $10,000, it may be too high for a lot of people. Teachers probably don't even pay 10 grand. I'm sure a lot of civil servants don't pay $10,000 in state in federal taxes. So maybe they shouldn't vote. Why should they vote? Were they going to vote themselves a raise? That's another thing. Why should federal employees vote when it's in their interest to make sure the federal government grows? Is that a rational idea or irrational? It's a topic for another day. I know it's too esoteric because it's not going to happen. No politician has the guts to even bring this up. Let's dip back into the Donald now in Des Moines.
Now, that was originally for the Soviet Union. Now it's Russia, but that's okay. Russia's plenty tough, but we got to, you got to go with the punches, folks. We got to do what we have to do. We have to make it good. And you always have to be prepared to walk. You know, Hillary Clinton came out and said, that's terrible. He's not going to stick with our allies. We're going to stick. But once the ally hears her dumb talk, because it's dumb, why would they ever pay? Why would they ever pay? When they hear that she will stick. Okay, here's a little negotiation,
right? Got it. Maybe I should copy his rhetoric, repeat myself while catching my breath. It's a technique, by the way, that seems to work. Seems to work. It's a technique that seems to work. It seems to work. That technique seems to work. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
In the air already on this Friday. We're going to go to KSFO Radio in San Francisco. Kim, you're calling about Trump. You say you're a Democrat?
Yeah, I'm a Democrat.
And you're voting for Trump?
There's a probability at this point that I will vote for Trump for a couple of reasons. One is this party has completely walked away from all the principles that I joined it for. I was the single Democrat in my family for generations. The single one. It was an interesting Thanksgiving. Every year, it was always me alone being a Democrat. And I fought for it because I loved the party, because I loved what FDR did, because I loved those principles. The Democratic Party has become the party of no borders, free trade, absolutely no limits. The basic thing is the whole idea behind globalism is the free movement of labor, products, and services, and they don't care. There's no loyalty to this country anymore.
So I take it you come from a blue-collar background?
No, my father was a successful surgeon, flight surgeon as well.
Interesting.
Flight
surgeon.
Yeah.
No, you sound as though you come from a working type of family in that regard. You don't have to say working class, but I'm working class and I'm not poor. So you're a Democrat, a lifetime Dem. Your father was a Repub, and you're going to vote for Trump even with his gaffes, right?
Because I've lost faith. Not only I expected more out of my party and I used to get it out of my party has become so corporate. I know that you hated Bernie, but I have to say what Hillary's DNC did to him was unthinkable. They wanted to frame him as an atheist right before the Kentucky and the Virginia vote. They also passed a rumor on that Saunders...
Well, that's very much along the lines of the sneaky tricks of Richard Nixon. So, you know, Hillary is a sneaky. The people around her are very dangerous. I mean, Sidney Blumenthal, you know what that name means? These are not good people, in my opinion. They're like Stalinists. They may as well work for Joseph Stalin. Copy of Scorched Earth goes out to the Lady Kim on KSFO. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
The person who is in the Oval Office and who our Secretary of Defense and our Joint Chiefs of Staff and our outstanding men and women in uniform report to.
Especially a trainer.
They are counting on somebody who has the temperament and good judgment to be able to make decisions to keep America safe.
Greatest Commander-in-Chief in
that should
Washington.
Be very much on the minds of voters when they go into the voting booth in November.
I'm just pondering that. Well, Mr. Trump is speaking as I speak with you tonight on the Savage Nation. I remind you, you are actually listening to a radio show. This is not your imagination speaking to you. No, you are not hallucinating. You're not having a psychotic episode. You are not hearing voices. You're hearing my voice. And if you care to be heard by millions of people, you can dial 855-400-7282. I should say it is open mic to mic Friday. However, we are hard focused on only a few topics, which are really Trump and Hillary. And we read that there are Democrats for Trump and Republicans for Hillary, which I find interesting. I think it's all made up. But maybe there are. I raised a provocative statement that one of the reasons America is in such trouble. See, look, here's the thing, is that when a politician has to pander to the lowest common denominator, we get what we get now in Congress. And the reason this has happened is because of universal suffrage, meaning not everyone should have the privilege of voting. There are categories of individuals who lose the right to vote. Felons, for example, can't vote. Is that correct? Non-citizens can't vote, except in California, which is how Jerry Brown stays in office and Dianne Feinstein and all of the others. But you're not allowed to vote if you're not a citizen. So why could we not extend the voting privilege to only those who pay federal taxes of a minimal amount, like a threshold? If you're a federal worker, you should absolutely not vote, because you're only going to vote yourself an increase, a raise, with a demagogue who promises you more benefits, such as Hillary. Of course you're going to oppose Donald Trump or a fiscal conservative, because you don't want them cutting into your lifestyle in any way. It's just human nature. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. If I were a government employee, which I am not, and I had a choice between a Democrat or a Republican, I would choose a Democrat, because I know that they're going to make sure I get more money. They're going to make sure my pension is fatter. They're going to give me a COLA increase on a regular basis. They'll increase my pay, because they believe in big government. So you shouldn't vote, because you're too biased. Likewise, anyone who receives public assistance, you should not vote, because you're only going to vote for someone who promises you increases in welfare. No one will bring this up, because it's the third rail of politics. And I don't believe this is ever going to come up in our political system as we know it, maybe after this election. I doubt it, though. It's too unpopular an idea, but, you know, we the people have a right to discuss it. I'm going to stay by my... I'm not doing this to be provocative, per se. It is a provocative thought. But I believe this is why we get such tepid politicians and such, let us say, the kind of leadership we currently have. Because they're pandering to the lowest common denominator. They're not just speaking to we the productive citizens who pay through our nose in taxes. They're speaking to the bum. They're speaking to the crack agent. They're speaking to the welfare recipient. They're speaking to the ne'er-do-well, all who vote. Why should they vote? Who said they have a right to vote? Where's that written, they have a right to vote? Well, it is written. But it was written when most people voted, because they were working. Most people who worked voted. But it was certainly not intended for people in madhouses to vote. The intent of that amendment was not so that every nutcase in the world could vote. They assumed at the time that the people who would be given the right to vote were productive citizens. But you have 90-some-odd million Americans who do not work. Why should they vote? We're going to become more and more like South America if this keeps up. So I think my idea is very important. I'm 100% right. And as a talk show host, I'm allowed to talk about it. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind, my friend?
Dr. Savage, thank you very much for saying what you and I and a bunch of my friends all think and say, that, yeah, this country, if you're taking out more than you're putting in, and you have a say in who's going to get that, you know, that role of what goes out, that's a recipe for disaster. My analogy is our house with our kids, right? They went to Disney once this year, and then they're hitting me up. We want to go to Disney again. We want to go to Disney again. And I'm like, you guys aren't paying for any of that. Get back in the van, and we're going to the library.
Right. Of course, a child will want to go on vacations, on perennial vacations, just like people who don't pay any taxes want perennial income.
Exactly. If you're not putting any, don't have any skin in the game, then it's easier for you to say spend, spend, spend.
All right, so you agree with me that universal suffrage is why we have such bad politicians. So I want to send you a copy of my book, which will come out after Labor Day. I'm starting to promote it right now very heavily, because I believe Scorched Earth is my most important book. And if you yourself think you know it all, you're mistaken, number one. But number two, buy it for a relative. Drive it up on Amazon right now and make it very big so people say, wait a minute, what's this guy Savage doing? He wrote a book called Scorched Earth, Restoring America After Obama. How could he restore something that's already perfect? I need your relatives who are not sure who to vote for in this coming election to read what he has done and is doing. Scorched earth. You'll see as time goes on what I'm talking about. The main question for you today is, do you think Trump is on track? Do you think that if Hillary becomes president, terrible things will happen? And what are those? What are those things you fear? In other words, what's your greatest fear about Hillary becoming president? I have several, which are amendments 1 through 8. Other than that, I have no fears at all. Speech, out the window. Second Amendment rights to bear arms and protect myself, garbage, out of the window. You say, well, wait a minute, she has to get Congress to approve. Oh, really? The way Obama does. He laughs at Congress. They're like his mercenaries. They do his bidding. Can anyone explain this to me? I say this to people that I confide in. How does Obama get away with all of his illegalities? He skirts the law, like the 400 million now, and nothing happens. And they shrug and they say, he's above the law. I said, why is he above the law? Why is he sacrosanct? What is it that makes him sacrosanct in his violation of the law and of the Constitution? How does he get away with it? So they immediately shrug and they hint and they say it's because he's not a white man that people give him a pass. I said, no. It's got to be much more than that. I don't believe that's the reason. There are other reasons that I think he gets away with it, and I don't know what they are. Because as far as I'm concerned, even this $400 million is immediate impeachment. Immediate impeachment for what he did. So, what can I say to you, other than what you want to say to me? John on KSFO. I got to put my glasses on. I actually can't see the keyboard. Terrible. My father used to wear glasses. I used to think, how weak he is. He said, let me put my goggles on. Now I'm putting the I can't even see the keyboard without a pair of glasses. It's terrible. I can't put a screw in a wall. Nothing. You know, it's not funny, man. Like my eyes are going from all these years of studying, writing, reading. It's terrible. Dogs don't wear glasses. How do they have eyesight till the end? What's it like? They don't. They go blind. They got to let them get cataracts. It's terrible to see a dog with a film over the eyes. Yeah, but God set it up that way. It's to show us that we're mortal. That's why our pets go before us. As a wise woman said to me, was a child was crying, they said, Mommy, why did Fido die before us? And the wise woman said, this is how you talk to your children. She said, tell them God set it up so that our pets pass before us. Because if we passed before them, they would be left alone and nobody would take care of them. It's a nice statement. That's the way it is. That's why God made it so that they die before us. Nobody wants to think that we have... All right, it's the way of all flesh. Now we go again to the morbid. I get into morbid. Like on Fridays, I feel a religion coming on. It's like I know I'm going to violate the Sabbath every which way to sun. I can't help it. I'm not a religious person. What should I do? Like, not drink? Remember there used to be blue laws in America. Did you know that? Could you believe that there was a time in this country, and I lived through them, that there were blue laws? You know what they were? My father had a little store in New York. You weren't allowed to be open on Sunday. They actually had cops come into his market on Sundays and give out tickets to them. They had to do it. They weren't mean. They just wrote a ticket, a summons. And everyone just took the summons. Then what could you do? They paid it. All right, we have to write it, you know. So the cops apologize. All right, line up, schmucks. Here's a ticket, whatever. They gave him a free... They gave him nothing. They didn't take anything. But the cop had to write a ticket. There was a blue law. You weren't allowed to have your business open on Sunday. Could you believe that? How we've come from that to Larry David in one generation? How we've gone from blue laws to... I can't. It's a family show. I was going to say something else. Let me think of something else. How we've gone from blue laws to Woody Allen in one generation. I could have used blue something else, but I don't want to say Blue Lives Matter. It's a family show. Let's take some calls on the program. What do you fear most about Hillary? I hear some very good calls, by the way. Normally in this hour, we get a die-off. Normally, hour three is like the drop-off, like off a cliff. No, now I'm jammed out. I never understand the miracle of talk radio. One day, it's like, the first 2 hours jammed. Then all of a sudden the third hour is like, goodbye. They're doing something to die off. Normally hour three is like the drop off, like off a cliff. No, now I'm jammed out. I never understand the miracle of talk radio. One day it's like The first 2 hours jammed. Then all of a sudden the third hour, it's like, goodbye. They're doing something else already. Now it's like everyone's waiting to talk. They can't wait. It's Friday. They can't wait to say a word. It's 2:16 on the West Coast. It's 5:16 on the East Coast. And it's 16 after everywhere else. And everyone wants to say something because they know I'm going to be off for 2 days. And they know without me, life is empty. So they figure, get on the show now. They're going to have the shakes by tonight. By the time Saturday, they can think they can almost get through it. By Sunday, they're seeing a psychiatrist. By Sunday night, they have insomnia. They don't know what to do. They sit Monday morning waiting until I go on the air. So I understand why you're lining up. I get it. Where there's no life after me. KSFO, line 6. John, welcome to the program.
Yeah, this is John. Mike, I want to tell you, I told your interviewer that I'm comparing you with George Orwell and his book, Predicting the Future, which has come to pass, and you're The Coming, which I read when it first came out. Exactly. You're just right in line.
Wait, hold it now. This is a very important call. It's probably the finest compliment any listener has ever paid to me, because Orwell was one of my great heroes and still is. I don't want to ask you which book was predictive, because most of them have some predictions in them. Which one are you referring to?
Well, I'm 1984, his prediction.
No, I understand. But which book of mine do you say is predicting this future?
The Coming. The Coming. That's the first book I've read of yours.
Oh, Scorched Earth.
No, The Coming. The one you put out a year and a half ago.
All right, listen, stay on the line. I never wrote The Coming.
What did you write? What was
Stop the Coming Civil War. No, I'm not a porno writer. I mean...
No.
I wrote Stop the Coming Civil War. You must be confusing me with a liberal. I never wrote The Coming. I wrote The Going.
Well,
I'm joking. No, I wrote Stop the Coming Civil War. I'm just trying to be facetious.
Yeah, that's the
one. Stay on the line before I get a double mic. I got a single now. He paid me a great compliment. He said Stop the Coming Civil War. Well, Obama's created a civil war right now between whites and blacks, between police and black people. He's done that. Don't sweep it under the rug. Cops are dying like flies because of him. But he skates over it. Don't say it didn't happen. It is happening. Go talk to the widows of the dead cops. Don't get me riled up on a Friday what this bum has done. Last night has garbage in the White House. Filth! Filth! Ex-drug dealers, rap artists. It's disgusting. Supposed to look the other way. Oh, yeah, he could do it. Right. Oh, if you say anything, you're a racist, right? No, not a racist. He has no taste. They're African Americans who love fine music and fine art. He's not one of them. They're low class. What do you think rap music is? It's garbage. It's the music of garbage. It's prison music. It's filth. What is he doing with that in the White House? He's pandering. That's all he's doing. They went to college, the two of them. They know better than that. All right, I'm going to calm down. It's Friday. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. Here's an interesting article from the New York Post, linked on michaelsavage.com. Kane and Pence's battle begins with fight over LGBT rights. You know, which takes us right back to what do you fear most about Hillary? This is a big issue, pushing the LGBT thing over and over like it's the most important thing on earth. You know, it may be important to lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and transsexuals, but they do not comprise the majority of Americans. And I would say that the majority of Americans have other issues and other priorities other than LGBT issues. So the issue here is the dullest VP candidates in memory have begun their battle over LGBT rights, whatever that means. So naturally, Democrat Senator Tim Kaine started the fight by accusing Republican Pence of being against LGBT rights, which is a lie, a total lie. At a stop in Greensboro, North Carolina, Citizen Kane linked Pence to North Carolina's controversial law. What is controversial law? Banning transgender people from using the bathroom. Why is that controversial? Banning them from using the bathroom of their choice? That's not controversial. It was controversial to push men into women's bathrooms. So again, they twist everything. Same thing happened in Indiana, Kane said, of the religious freedom law, and he had to kind of do a U-turn. Well, this is exactly what we are talking about. And I believe that it's a clear choice between staying sane in America and going crazy altogether. You know, even the liberal, ultra-liberal Pope shocked the world yesterday. Did you hear what he said? I had the article. I don't want to get it wrong. It's about, didn't you send that to me, Robert, this morning? I think you did. I have to find it. I don't want to misquote it. I don't have the article, but I kind of remember it by heart. Wait. What the Pope said, he said, I misquote him. I'm going to get slammed to the mat here by my own petard. Well, he said, I want to get it right. No, I don't have it. The Pope said something along the lines of, and paraphrasing him now, that transgenderism will destroy the human race. Isn't that what he said, more or less? That it's the sickest thing in the whole world, is telling people that they can decide what gender they are. The liberal Marxist Pope came out and finally made sense. Telling a young child they could decide what sex they are is the end of the human race, according to the Pope. Do you agree with that? Because I do. How can you have a child define or redefine their sexuality like?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
But you know, one of my statements keeps resonating back in my own brain, and I'm going with my own feedback mechanism, which is something a good talk show host has, all of us do, which is a feedback of our own questions and comments. And one of them keeps bouncing back at me like a, not a racquetball, but a squash ball coming off the, you know, a fourth wall. I watched the squash game a few weeks ago. I never saw a game as fast as that in my life. I mean, these guys are amazing. Nevertheless, the ball comes back at me with this thing, which is the Burkas on Rodeo Drive. What are they doing there? A walk on Rodeo Drive just yesterday produced more burkas, more head veils than in Istanbul. I'm not making this up. It was shocking. I've been here many times. I've never seen a flood of burkas and of head coverings as I saw yesterday on Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills. Now, you may say, what's wrong with that? Well, let me ask you something. The town right now, L.A., is filled with Saudis in particular because it's hot in the Middle East, as you know. And to them, this is like winter. To come here for like high 70s, low 80s is better than 110 in the desert. So they bring the whole family, the security team. They walk around on Rodeo. Okay, fine. They're humans like all of us. But what are they doing on Rodeo Drive? They're such Orthodox Muslims. And I've no doubt that they are. They're wearing the costume. The men aren't, though. It's an interesting thing is, you look at the teenage boys, they look like an American boy. No outfits, no nothing. An undershirt. Just kids. The girls are not bound by any strictures, but the women are wrapped up in that costume. Now, you know, I was walking with Mrs. Esther. She says to me, well, what do you prefer, that or that? So she points at one of the harlots of Rodeo. We're walking with a dress where you had to turn your head away because you felt like you were going to be arrested for looking at like a striptease show. You don't know which way to turn. So I said, you know, you make a good point. I said, well, you know who's doing this. It's God trying to balance things out. The country's become so sick, so degenerate, what they've done to the women of this country. We're 8-year-old girls in America dressing like prostitutes. The mother, of course, doesn't know the difference. The mother was raised to behave and dress like that. So you say, what am I being misogynistic? No, I'm actually just a social observer. I mean, there's like a scale of balance. So we've gone so far in one direction where they reveal their whole body, and it's kind of embarrassing in some ways for some guys. When you're walking down the street, you want to look like you're crazy. On the other hand, okay, so the guy puts his wife in the other thing, so you don't look at her. That's the whole point. It's modesty. Where is the balance going to come in this country, I ask myself. And, you know, and another plus is these women, I'm not talking about the full body thing with the slits. To me, that should be banned in any country except in the throwback nations they come from. Because I know something about Islam, and correct me if you're a Muslim, correct me if I'm wrong, that is not in the Quran. It does not say you have to put your wife in a tent. The burqa is not in the Quran. It's just not there. That's a medieval costume that does not belong in a Western nation. It's been banned in France for a reason. for a number of reasons, security reasons amongst others. So I really don't have a problem with a modest dress, with a hijab. It's kind of okay. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't matter whether it bothers me. I'm saying just even observing it doesn't really offend me. And the clothing is extremely clean. At least it's clean. I mean, compare it to the dresses that the women wear in Mill Valley, California. It's a plus. They wear $1 dresses from, well, let's not go there. This is a family show. But it's just an observation that I had to get it out of my system. Do you think Trump is on track? Does his campaign need intervention? Have you lost faith in Donald Trump? Is he being undermined by his campaign? Should Trump apologize to Sharia Khan's father? I call Khan the con man. You know, I don't believe he should apologize, but now they're saying he should apologize to Sharia Khan. But here's the real loaded question of the day from Lollipop Land. If Hillary becomes president, what's your greatest fear? What do you think she will do that frightens you the most? That's the one that's really striking the raw nerve. That's chalk on a blackboard. If Hillary becomes president, what is your greatest fear? I know I have mine, which would be the First through Eighth Amendments. But other than that, I have no fears about Hillary. I'm perfectly fine with her. It's just the First through Eighth Amendments that bother me a little bit. Freedom of speech, that'll be modified. It'll be European style, where you can say what she wants. Second Amendment, oh, you could have a gun if you want to go bird shooting. But other than that, you may as well break your guns up and throw them into the sea. Let's go down the Third, Fourth, Fifth, Sixth, and Seventh and Eighth Amendments, because that's what's coming if she becomes president. Now, there's another question. Are you a Republican who will vote for Clinton? I saw an amazing article from the Associated Propagandists at AP saying that there's a new group of voters for Hillary called Republicans. And then they trot out groups called, like, Republican Women for Hillary. I don't believe these groups exist. You say Christy Todd Whitman is about to go over? Well, Christy Todd Whitman was always a rhino. She was never really a Republican. And the other one, Meg Whitman, another faker. So I'm not, you know, really impressed with this article, but I'm worried. There are people that they're quoting with groups that I never heard of. Women, for example, in the crucial swing counties surrounding cities such as Richmond, Virginia, Columbus, Ohio, I said that on purpose, and Philadelphia. Jennifer Pirotti Lim, who heads a group called Republican Women for Hillary, I don't believe it, said they have heard from nearly 100 women since the party conventions concluded, quote, I think Trump doubling down on these things gives people an extra push to come forward for Hillary. So I'm asking you a question, because he's down in the polls. Even Pat Buchanan, who I respect deeply, says that Trump's road is still open, but he's down by 10 points. He said that's not insurmountable, because in August of 64, Barry Goldwater was down 36 points behind the Dem LBJ, while today Trump is down 10 points behind Hillary, if you can believe it. And he writes, from Harry Truman to George W. Bush, many presidential candidates have been able to close a 10-point gap and win. And he says, what does Trump need to do? He needs to cooperate with the party. The party needs to stop attacking him. He needs to stop attacking the party. It's not that hard. But that's not going to happen, because I believe the party wants Hillary to win. I believe his own campaign managers, in my opinion, worked for her. I'm sorry. I mean, it's not a conspiracy theory. Look at their background. You don't have to go as far as a conspiracy theory to follow what I'm saying to you. But if I now see Burkas on Rodeo Drive, why can't I see Republicans on Hillary Drive? You know, so I'm asking you a number of questions. What do you fear most about a Clinton presidency? And I think is a prime one. And there's no better answer to that than what's going on in New York City under de Blasio, who is akin to Hillary in some ways, because he's a radical leftist with a sense of tolerance for the bums, the hookers, and the crackheads, like Hillary. Hillary will have tolerance for crackheads, bums, hookers, trannies, and she will have no tolerance for patriots and conservatives, in plain English. I mean, let's get down to brass tacks. So I'm looking at an article today in the New York Post. Crackheads, bums, and hookers rule Washington Square Park. The cops look the other way. They're openly consuming heroin and other hard drugs. Steps away from children's playground. It's like Dinkins' mayorship back in New York, but worse. This is what happens when you have an ultra-tolerant liberal administration. It's not liberal at all. There's another word for it, but it's not liberal. Drug dealers selling drugs in Washington Square Park in Manhattan, counting their money. Cops are there saying to people who come over them, calm down. Another man urinating on a tree. The Parks Department worker says he and his colleagues have quit cleaning up the area because they're scared of the addicts. This is what goes on when a society degenerates. Drug use, prostitution, gambling in the open air. No cops. When asked why they weren't cracking down on the lawlessness, which they could see, one cop said, we aren't even here for that specifically. There's a unit that's dealing with all of that. I can't say more than that. So when you say ultra tolerance and you say, oh, that's what I want, I'm a liberal and I want liberation from an overbearing police force, I want liberation from an overbearing moralistic society, this is what you get. This is exactly what you get with a liberal government. What you're having in New York, it's going to affect property values eventually. And only when it starts affecting the property values of wealthy liberals will they suddenly scream that we need a law and order candidate and beg someone like Giuliani to run New York again. This is how it works. So why would you want Hillary, who is not only like Obama 2.0, but I think much worse than Obama in many ways? Yesterday he gave a speech saying that he's actually defeating ISIS, which no one believes in the world. Everyone laughs at the guy. And then he gives an answer that's because of Muslim American patriotism that we're defeating ISIS. You've got to hear clip 11. I'm asking you if this man is in reality or not. Listen to 11.
One of the reasons that we don't have networks and cells that are as active here as they are in certain parts of Europe is because the Muslim American community in this country is extraordinarily patriotic and largely successful.
Earth to Barry. I know you just had a big shindig in the White House last night with all sorts of rap stars, but maybe you've come out of the hangover now. You didn't hear about Orlando, where a whole number of gays were killed by Muslims? You didn't hear about San Bernardino, where innocent workers were killed by two Muslims? What are you talking about? What do you mean we don't have active cells? Your own FBI said that there's over 1,000 under surveillance. So here's the situation. As bad as it is now, I think it'll get worse under Hillary. She's not the Iron Lady she pretends to be. She's an Iron Lady towards Republicans and an Iron Lady toward patriotic Americans who don't like her or her politics. But she's not an Iron Lady when it comes to the things that need to be irony about. I'm not going to vote for a crazy left-wing Democrat who has so many question marks surrounding her. I will never do it. Because I think Obama is a man who belongs in prison. I think he's violated the law virtually as often as he can, including the $400 million he sent to Iran. You know, maybe you've swept it under the rug. That's one of the big stories of our lifetime. That a gonif president like this would go around the law and send $400 million on an unmarked military cargo jet, painting over the USA, the stripes on it, and send $400 million in Swiss francs and in Central European bank currency in order to get around the law. To me, that's the act of a criminal. It's money laundering. If you go to an airport with over $10,000, or you transfer more than $10,000, you go to jail, right? He sent $400 million to the gangsters in Iran, and he's telling me no big deal. Remember yesterday? Oh, why did this become such a problem? Hey, that's no biggie. You know, it's that right-wing conspiracy again. Let's move on. Michelle and I have so many other things to talk about, like the rap stars in the White House tonight. Is this a big story? I said to someone who sent it to me this morning, I said, let me tell you something. I don't think the average person cares about the $400 million. That's not resonating with them. It's not, you see, this is the problem. It's too esoteric and too abstract. It's a huge story. It's a criminal act. He violated many different laws. Does it have legs, as they say, with the average person? I don't think so. But if Donald Trump burps, 18 newspapers around the globe cover Donald Trump burps, shows he's unqualified to eat dinner. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. Time is short. I'm saving the best for the end of this show. Remember what happened in London the other day? A Somali stabbed a bunch of people in the street and killing a poor 60-year-old woman with a knife, and immediately the liars in England said that it was a mentally ill boy who was picked on, nothing to do with Islam, let's move on. Well, guess what I discovered? You're not going to believe it, but first we're going to play the lies that came out of London right after the Muslim went wild in the streets with a knife. Listen carefully, because if Hillary becomes president, expect more of this in America rather than less of it. Listen carefully.
Early indications suggest that mental health is a significant factor in this case, and that is one major line of inquiry.
Yes, spontaneous, unprovoked, as Isa touched on there, no evidence of radicalization, they say, all increasingly points to the likelihood that this was triggered by mental health issues. He's a Norwegian national of Somali origin.
But what they're saying more strongly is that they believe that mental health was a significant factor in this attack.
Yeah, he was a 19-year-old Somalian Norwegian national. The police also saying that this was a random and spontaneous attack.
All of you are liars. You belong in a
Norwegian
mental
national.
Hospital. Stop it. All of you belong in prison for being liars for the government of England. Now, these men sound like they're English and they sound like they're men, but they're neither. They're no longer English nor men. They're nothing but puppets. Because today we learn from HeatStreet.com, the quote, mentally ill youth who did that in London, the Somali Muslim, studied terror. They found his name, Zachariah Bulhan, and they found the books that he was reading on Goodreads' website. And he read at least one book advocating violent jihadism in his personal account. This is the same person arrested by police and said to have no links to terrorism, but merely was a bullied young boy. And he was Norwegian, Somali. Emphasis on the Norwegian. He's as Norwegian as I am. Norwegian, Somali. Yeah, everything reversed. Everything's a lie. Between January 2014 and September 2015, Zachariah Bulhan flagged up on Goodreads three books on Islam and Islamist theology as texts they intended to read. And one of them that this poor little bullied boy read is one that urged violent jihadism as a duty of Muslims. It's a book, it's a 13th century deranged text that this bullied little boy read. It's a text widely read by devout Muslims. And this little poor bullied Muslim boy went out in the street with a knife and stabbed this poor woman, Darlene Horton, a nice 60-year-old grandmother, cut at her ribbons, stabbed other people, and immediately the men who sound like they're English and sound like they're men, being puppets all, went out and read the big lie that it was a random act, mentally ill, and they swept the Muslim youth up and took him away from all scrutiny whatsoever. The book is a nightmare. If you think he is the only one who reads this, you're mistaken. I would suspect that many on Rodeo Drive are now reading it. I would suspect that many around your communities are reading this 13th century text, which calls for violent jihad. Well, if you think it's show business, I'm glad for you. Because it is in a way, but it's not in another way. It's sort of like Paul Revere on a merry-go-round in Lollipop Land. This is Michael Savage saying goodnight, and God bless America.